The Crash Course Live is presented by
Smash It Demolition Derby, who hosts Bash for Cash, Blizzard Bash, and Capital City Carnage. Online at smashitderby.com. And Stirring Dirt Racing, host of May Mania's team show at the Golden Spike Arena in Ogden, Utah. Online at stirringdirtracing.com.
Reckless Abandoned Derby Apparel and Derby Inc. Magazine. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now your host, Chris Marquardt.
Good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to episode number 268. Oh, good number.
Kenny Rosno.
268, well, I was thinking you, but yes, also, it was nice of you to loan your number to Kenny Rosno.
Yeah, that's
kind
it.
Of you. 268 on deck of the Crash Course. We appreciate all the folks tuning in and watching along with us at home. A lot of derby action over the weekend. They burned down the casino at the Casino Battle Royale out in Vegas with Stern Dirt Racing, and we've got one Bruce Johnson joining us here in just a few minutes. Did you tune in and catch any of the derby action over the weekend?
I did catch some of it. Friday night, I didn't quite see all of it. I'd actually went to work Thursday night at 11 and worked till 3 Friday afternoon.
Was that one of those mandatory things?
Yeah, it was one of those mandatory things. Yeah, so then I got home, and the boys and I went to the gym, and by the time we got done with that, I was pretty whooped. So it was kind of in and out Friday night. Saturday night, the on-track action was pretty impressive. A lot of guys making junk. We actually had a birthday party going on that night. So what I could see of it, it looked like it was they were getting after it pretty good out there. I did watch enough to see Bad Ronnie McClung turn his car inside out, as he usually does. So it was, from what I saw, Saturday was pretty good on-track action. Like I said, Friday I didn't get to see a lot of it. I was in and out of consciousness. So, and you?
We had a soccer game. Got to go. This is the first weekend that I've been home in the last several weeks. So it was nice to just, you know, be around and do the family thing.
How many goals did Allen have?
We took he had one. They got up to a fast lead. They were up like 3 or 4 to 1, and then it went back the other way, and then ended up being a 9-9 tie after overtime. It was porous. He had two big shots from right at midfield, and one went over the goal, and one went into the goalie's hands on a leaping save. So it was a lot of fun, though. It was a lot of yelling and hooting and hollering. It was fun.
And I thought I saw you guys did some bowling.
Yeah,
any bowling.
Yeah. It was real bowling. Not even on the Wii. You know.
Cool.
It was neat. It's been a while since I've been to Sunset too. It was a lot of fun. It was good.
Yeah,
we went there
New Year's Eve. It was every now and then you just got to go bowling. It's just like right. The things you got to do. You know what I mean? It's always a good time. We apologize for our late start. There was a little bit of a malfunction.
Still recovering right now. The
came in and Chris was having some trouble. We actually had to have Jim, who owns all this stuff, to come in and work on it. And everything's up and going now.
Yep.
So Chris is just doing a little producing work, and we will go from there.
Okay. All right. I think we are good. Okay. So everything is up on its feet. Everything is working the way that it's supposed to. And once again, thanks a lot for all the folks that are bearing through some of the challenges that we had as we set everything up here. So we've got Bruce Johnson joining us online, and Bruce, of course, has a reputation of being a notoriously hard driver. We've seen him run a bunch of times up at Winter Slam, and we had the good fortunes of seeing him make his first ever trip down to Topeka, Kansas, with a Chevette that was a combination of a lot of different parts and pieces. It had the Ford motor in it. It had an S10 rear end in it. Had a rear end issue, and that's what ended up taking him out. But Bruce is facing a dilemma at this point. Does he save the Chevette and bring it back for another run at Capital City Carnage next year, or does he run it around at home in Minnesota and wear the thing out this summer and build something new for next year? So Bruce is on the line with us, man. Bruce, how are you?
I'm doing good, Chris. Thanks for bringing me on.
For sure. So Bruce is looking for some help. He wants some advice. So right now on the Crash Course Facebook page, there's a poll asking the fans what they think. Does Bruce wreck the Chevette this summer, or does he hang on to it and bring it back to Capital City Carnage? There's only two options. We've already got votes coming in, which didn't take long. So So Bruce is looking for some input. I mean, is there one way or another that you're leaning at this point in terms of what to do with it?
Really, at this point, I don't really know. You know, I've repairs are underway. There's a lot of things that I didn't get done before the run that I wanted to get finished. So I could take a lot of time, or I could get it back together this summer real quick. So I'm really on the fence with what I want to do. That's why I asked for some help with it.
You know, it was definitely a different car. We've never seen a Chevette in Topeka.
I don't remember seeing one.
So it was
cool. We've seen more 65 Mustangs than we've seen Chevettes.
Yeah, that is true. It's cool that it was there, but I know me personally, it would be hard to sit on a ready derby car for a year. I have, but it's hard to do. I would think, you know, being up there from Minnesota, right?
Wisconsin, but right on the border.
Yeah, Wisconsin, that area. I would think, me personally, I would say wreck it this summer and then find something really cool and out of the box to bring back to Topeka next year. Like, you know, try to outdo yourself. Like, okay, I brought a whatchamacallit this year, and next year I'm going to bring this that nobody's ever seen wrecked before, or they haven't seen many of them wrecked before, and kind of, you know, get yourself into like a one-upping yourself year after year after year. Because, I mean, that's, you know, something different. I mean, everybody wrecks Luminous. Everybody wrecks, you know, whatever,
Mustangs.
But, I mean, you know, search AMCs around and find something that hasn't been wrecked. I think that'd be a cool way to do it, but that's just my humble opinion.
You know, that's the conversation I've had with people about it too. Is, you know, what do I do bring next year if I don't bring the Chevette? And I feel like I could be that guy that brings something that nobody's ever seen before every year.
That'd be cool.
I think that'd be fun. It makes it a bit of a challenge too, because how do you top a Chevette? You know, there isn't much else out there to look. I really got to start digging in.
Dodge Omni.
There you go, Dodge Omni. Yeah.
That could be done.
Dodge Daytona, 1983 Charger.
There you go. You know what else I haven't seen a lot of? I don't think, and I wonder what the wheelbase is, but like a Ford Pinto. Have we seen Ford Pinos?
Yeah. We've seen Ford Pinos at Blizzard Bash before.
Yeah, really? Definitely. Oh. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I actually have a nice one of those sitting out back that I probably shouldn't be telling everybody about. But, it's getting harder and harder to find shows where I want to take the little cars to.
Right.
You know, everything around here is being dominated by 108-inch wheelbase rule set, and you know, you're looking at Illumina for that, and that's, you know, 3,000 pounds versus a Pinto or Mustang 2 is 2,000 pounds. Mm-hmm. So you just kind of get wasted every time trying to bring the small stuff against the midsize stuff.
Right. I mean, you could say, you know, start looking at like a Camaro or something like that, but that's been done.
Yeah, Camaros have got rocks.
Yeah, Camaro's been done. I got one of those in the barn too. I've got a pretty good stash going right now of all kinds of different things that I could try.
How about like a Monza?
I don't know that I have that unique one that I would want to bring down to Capital City Carnage though.
Monza wagon.
Yeah, like a Monza or a Monza wagon. That'd be cool.
That would be cool.
Isn't there
wagons? I have to say,
isn't there a Monza in the Test Drive Eve Destruction game? I don't think they call it a Monza though.
Yes,
it's something else.
It looks like it.
Yeah, it's similar to that.
Yeah, now that you mention it, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's cool. You know, the seeing the Chevette and really, I mean, how'd you feel about the run overall at Capital City Carnage with the car? It's not typically your style to come home with something that can run again.
Yeah, that's very true. I'm sitting on a lot of pre-runs right now that I can start pulling out and working on. The Chevette, though, it came out far better than I wanted it to.
Right.
It was just one of those runs. I got out there, and that track looks really big from the stands. Mm-hmm. But then when you get 20, 25, 28 cars out there, there wasn't a lot of room. I was actually really surprised.
Right.
I just didn't get the chance to get out in the open and open it up like I like to do.
And what happened to the back end again? You told me once before it was a broken axle.
So it's a kind of different rear end on that. It's got a three link suspension with the pinion is really long and is the anchor point for the axle.
Mm-hmm.
So when I put in that S10 axle, I had to remake that whole front link.
Right.
And then it, with all of that, the two outer links were the weak point. The two outer links ripped away from the body.
Mm-hmm.
So then my third link bent, and my pinion was actually dragging on the ground.
That's not good.
No. Generally
no, I had a good shaft in there. I had got a good slider shaft from John at NLR, and it was holding together. But I just it was pushing on the ground, and I couldn't get anything to move.
Gotcha. So once that thing had rocked over forward, it sort of just stuck where it sat. You ended up running into the Volvo once. That was a pretty good lick. But other than that, with the congestion, you're sort of stuck around. There was a lot of rubbing and kind of bouncing around. Did you feel like at all? I mean, maneuverability was certainly there for you. You had plenty of power, that Ford motor that you had stuck in it, and the car small enough to where you can certainly move around. But were you giving anything up in terms of how heavy the car was or with the congestion that you were facing?
No, I think the big issue was just finding the space to get out and get some free air to open it up on.
Too much dirty air.
One of the compact Cadillacs got some good space and gave me a pretty good run on the front end there too.
Mm-hmm. How is the car at this point overall? I mean, is it something that, for one, did it hold up the way that you thought that it was going to? How much experience do you have with Chevettes? And then two, you know, what have you got to do in terms of fixing it?
Well, see, this is my first Chevette running. I mean, my brother-in-law ran one years ago, and that was a chain it together and just get out there with it kind of build. So this is probably my heaviest build ever, and my first time with the Chevette.
Mm-hmm.
As far as how it held up, everything that I thought was going to hold up held up just fine. The front end is pretty good. It's tweaked over to the side, but it's nothing that I can't straighten out. I mean, it takes a good amount of force to bend a 3/8 plate, and I bent a couple of them up there. there's a little bit of work to do straighten that out, and I never put any repair plates on it either, so I got some space to work with it on that.
Right.
Otherwise, the rear end did exactly what I wanted. I didn't really take as many hits as I was expecting, so it's starting to roll in good on the rear end. There's some dents in the back quarters that I'm gonna play with a little bit and see what I can form around, but otherwise, I'm very happy with everything that went with it.
The car itself. I mean, are we looking at some sort of a new hidden gem? Is the Chevette going to become a go to up there in line with the Mustangs and the Pacers and now the Camaros?
Well, I mean, anything could happen, but I really don't think it will be. it's hard to find a clean one, and it's I don't know they. They're just kind of fun. This car, you know, you talked about sitting on a built car for over a year. I've been sitting on this car for 16 years. Picked 16? It up years ago out in a field back somewhere and had it floating around the shop for a while. I was going to build it into a hot rod. And then at some point it's just been sitting around too long. I decided I was going to derby it. And so then it got stripped and brought in the shop. And it's been sitting in the shop for probably, I don't know, 8 or 10 years now before I finally got around to deciding it was time to build it.
It only takes up a footprint of about 4 square feet, yeah, so it's not like it took up a lot of room, right?
That's very true. That's very true.
So, I mean, your style of driving is a lot of fun to watch. With the times we've got to see you run it, Winter Slam is really the most experience that I've had in terms of watching your run, but you've always told me that it's like that no matter where you go. What did you have in terms of expectations going to Capital City Carnage with a car like this? You know, we talked in the pits, and you said you were basically there for fun and kind of whatever happens. If you get 5 hits in, you're content, and then you surprised yourself at Winter Slam when you had the chain and go car because it accidentally refired and you got more action out of it.
Yeah, the Winter Slam was a whole different deal. Winter Slam, it was hard and there was lots of space and I was taking hits and giving hits and I just couldn't back myself down. I actually took myself out. I took that last full track hit on the back at Winter Slam and it shocked my entire chest. You know, puppy coat inside my seatbelt didn't help. I think I was bouncing around inside my seatbelts too. But I shut it down myself because I didn't want to take another big hit like that.
Right.
Now I kind of regret it, but you can't judge what you did in the moment.
Sure,
true.
So, going down to Capital City Carnage, I knew it was going to be hard. I was talking to people, and they said it's faster than Winter Slam.
Mm-hmm.
The difference was, you know, the track was there, but there just wasn't the space that there was at Winter Slam to get the speed up. I go out to have fun. I go out to hit. I don't like to pussyfoot around. I like to hit as hard as I can, put on a show. Even to my own disadvantage, you know, like I said in the interview, I probably ruined my own day by wrecking the car too quick, but that didn't really happen. But I've tried to slow down, and I just can't. The adrenaline gets going, and I get going. So these bigger shows, this is my first time out for a big show like this, and I know it's a different style of driving, like they've been talking, but I something I might have to work on. See if I can't reel it in a little bit, you know, make a little more smart decisions. I guess the goal I'm going for is to become a smart hammer.
Right.
There you go. But, I mean, we've touched on that before, is that, you know, it takes a minute or two to get the runways to open up, especially with the compacts, because there is so many of them. But, I mean, once the runways start to open up a bit, you know, you really see guys starting to lay the hammer down. Like you said, though, I think that may be something you're going to have to, you know, work on a little bit, you know, stick and move and stay active. And then, you know, once it opens up a little bit, and because they do, I mean, it kind of turns into battles all over the track and things kind of open up, and then you can usually get a pretty good run at stuff out there. So, you know, it's weird. You know, everybody kind of holds back until it's open, and then it's on from there.
Mm-hmm.
How long have you been driving?
Well, I've figured it out. I'm around 20 years now.
So I mean,
started back in high school with my brother-in-law Maverick, and I took a few years off here a bit ago, and I think 3 years ago I started getting back into it, and it's always been fun, always been a family kind of thing, big team that we built up around in our local area back in the day.
Sure, The driving style, has it always been like this? I mean, it's always been that wide open, smash mouth, real aggressive, and just focusing on the fun mindset?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've never, you know, back when we started, there was nothing to the cars. If you had some chains in the front end, that was the most you had. You know, maybe you had a radiator, maybe not. there wasn't time to worry about, you know, how is it going to bend or what's going to do. You just get out there and hit it and go. And can't tell you the number of times we ran a car with no coolant or running on three cylinders instead of four. And
right.
You don't have the time to play around, and the heats were short, so you went out and nothing held back like a young man.
So that being said, what was the rush that you get in some place like Winter Slam is one thing. Now you've amplified that with that arena and the tunnel and being indoors and stuff. What was that adrenaline rush and experience like? We've always talked to drivers, and they said that pulling through that tunnel, there's nothing like it.
Oh yeah, it was pretty crazy. You know, my adrenaline was going for the last half an hour before, you know, just sitting in the barn waiting to go and you know, pulling into the big show, and then I get out through the rain and into that tunnel, and you know, I was the second one in, so you know, that amps you up a bit too. And Then that wait when you're sitting there in the arena for the rest of the cars coming, that just takes forever.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really know what to think. I was just enjoying the rush.
How'd you like that start style where you're nosed up to the person across from you?
You know, I want to say that's the first time I've ever had that start style, but I might have over the years.
Right.
It works all right. I'm used to the, you know, we park across the track, you're wide open for your first hit across on somebody.
Right.
But it all works out good.
Chris coined that parking lot style.
I can't take credit for that. I believe that it was Sam that told me that.
Really?
Before. I believe so. I'm trying to remember now.
Described as that.
Yep. That parking lot style start, like you're at a Walmart, everybody's nosed up together.
The only place that I've ever really seen it like that is JM, and they take it to the extreme because there's like two here, and then back here there's two more, and like the State Fair, they'd cover the front stretch with that style parking. Like there'd be one at the end, and then there'd be two in the middle, and two here, and two down through, and it was always, if you were in the middle, your goal was to get to the end line as quick as you could.
Right.
And then just start sandbagging.
that's one strategy.
That's what I did.
So, I mean, that's one place to jump off with Bruce right here, too, is you're talking about
making that jump now to the smarter driving style, you know, picking your shots a little bit more, being a little bit more precise and selective with it. How tough is it to train yourself to drive like that and control that emotion and that adrenaline inside the cockpit when you've been doing it that way for 20 years?
It's phenomenally hard. I've talked to this with other teammates too. I mean, we've tried to slow down and try to save the car a little bit, you know, make it a little further into the heat before we open things up, and then you see a nice quarter panel or you see a nice shot on a tire and you're like, I'm going to take that, and right. away you go. Mm-hmm. And the pedal goes down and I'm not going to lift until I hit, and there you are. So trying to get it down is going to be tough for me, but I think it's something I got to work on.
Yeah, I think that your build quality is certainly there. You've made the cars hold up to way more than they should, you know, given what you've got to work with the rule set. So you've certainly got the ability as a builder now. If you just got to get yourself trained to where you can be hanging around at the end.
Yeah, I don't know that I can tame down my hits, but I like to try to make it more selective.
Sure, you got 30 seconds to make a hit. If you make a hit every 10 seconds. Versus making one hit every 30 seconds, you're taking three times the damage.
That's very true. But it's not as much fun.
Do you have...
Great point.
No, I'm out there for the fun, and I had the opportunity. On my way home, I stopped in Iowa at a Five Guys to get some lunch, and I had a couple guys pull around next to the trailer and said, hey, can we take a look at your car? And that we're building one, and we don't see any around here. We'd like to take a look. And so they said, sure, and they hopped out and took a look and asked a few questions, this and there. And he said, so this will be my first time. You know, got any tips for that? I said, you know what? It's your first time. Go out there. Don't think about winning. Don't think about doing good or anything. Just think about having fun.
Yep.
That's what this is about, especially when you're first starting out, just to go out there and have some fun.
Do you have a favorite car you like to run?
Well, that's something that's been changing for me. You know, back in the day, it was always the first-gen Cavaliers for me. Had 20, 30 of them over the years. I still have pieces of parts laying around. Right now, they're super hard to find in any decent shape. And they're, you know, like I talked before, they're just a little too small for mm-hmm. everything that's running mid-size around here.
Right.
I'm liking the W-bodies now. I was against W-bodies for a while just because they're so common. I don't like common. I like being unique. But then I started running some, and boy, did I enjoy building them and driving them. So right now I'd have to say it's W-bodies, but I kind of like everything, anything I can have fun with.
That's cool.
I asked a driver one time what their favorite car was, and they said a free one.
Yeah. Very true. Very true.
You can't beat a free car either.
Very true.
In terms of your career over all that time, have you ever got to a point where you were able to win a feature?
I have won. Actually, my first win came 2 years ago. It was my second Derby after I came back in. Mm-hmm. And it was over Clear Lake, Wisconsin.
Okay.
And we brought two cars. A friend of mine, we built a car for her. We'd competed the weekend before over Clayton when John show, and then we mm-hmm. went over Clayton with what we had left, and it was one of those shows where I tried to teach myself to slow down a little bit and use the rear end. That's the other challenge, is trying to back up with the front wheel drive car. It just mm-hmm. isn't easy getting turned, and then you start sliding around too much.
Right.
But we ended up coming down to just the two of us. And that's when most of the damage came out, is when it was just the two of us. I didn't back off on her. We teed off, and I think most of the damage built on her car came from mine. So
that's cool.
I came away with the first place, and I came away with the Mad Dog. So I was pretty happy that weekend.
That's
can't
a good
beat
weekend.
That.
Have you ever gone into a hit where you're just about to make impact, and you're thinking to yourself, boy, this is a little faster than I thought it was going to be?
Oh, that's every show. Every show that happens.
Yep.
You had that happen at Waterloo, right?
I've had it happen a bunch of times at Waterloo. I mean, our hometown fair, sorry, Josh Beal, our hometown fair, the track is about 275, 280 feet, and you start at one end of that track heading towards the other end wide open with a full-size car, you get almost to the pile and you go, oh, man, this is going to hurt. But thankfully, that old metal bends and you don't take too much. I don't like getting hit from that distance, but hitting from that distance is all right.
What's the longest runway that you've had, that if you can remember?
Oh, for me, I don't know. I've had some big tracks. You know, 70 yards probably.
Well, that's the thing is, with the compact, you don't need that much space. Nope. Those, they pick up speed so fast. I mean, I've only ever driven one compact, and it was a Monte Carlo, and that was, I had a blast.
When was that?
Remember when they did the Pros versus Joe's?
Oh yeah, yep, yeah.
And that, I mean, I had a blast in that car. I drove it like it was a '67 Imperial. I never backed up with it once. Just got hit with the nose.
Man, that Pros versus Joe's, that was the, wasn't that the one where Dave ended up running over the axle off somebody else's car? Mm-hmm. Oh no, that was the trucks when. The rear end and the Leafs got sheared right up from underneath one of the Wilkins cars.
Yeah.
That wasn't Pros versus Joe's. That was a truck
run or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pros versus
Still Joe. Cool.
Yeah, Pros versus Joe's was fun, though, too. That's the first hit I hit Dave Dressing and had him like, his right rear tire was over the roof of my car.
Uh-huh.
And then I stopped and let him drive down off. But, I mean, I could have put him on his lid for a shot.
Right.
It was fun. And then at the end, I thought it was down to just Jake and I. And Jake had a van, and I had that Monte Carlo. I hit Jake about 40 in the back end, and my car died. I smelled all sorts of gas. And I look, and Jake's like, what are you doing? And then I saw Dave drive out of nowhere. And then Jake ended up beating Dave for the win, but it was fun. That was the thing that surprised me, is how fast those things picked up speed. Because, I mean, we watched them before, and right. I mean, this was probably 10 years ago. No, it was probably 8 or 9 because Nick went with me up to Kyle's afterwards, and he was probably 2 or 3. But the rate at which they gained speed, Mark Benjamin hit me at probably 40 in one of those things, and he hadn't gone very far down the track to do it. Strangely enough, he was on my team, and he still hit me at 40. Old habits die hard.
He tagged you pretty good. That is for sure. So, again, Bruce Johnson looking for some advice on whether he should wreck the Chevette this summer or save it and bring it back to Capital City Carnage next year. You mentioned a little bit about the team. First, who's on the team? And then second, is there any likelihood that we might see you enter the team ranks at Blizzard Bash this year, now that you know how to get to Topeka?
Well, Blizzard Bash has been a conversation that we've had before.
Yeah.
I've been talking with some of my friends about it. We were working on putting something together. It's really hard. They only have one spot that's open this year for an open team. I don't think we figured out we're to the place where we're not quite ready to take on a big show like Blizzard Bash for a team. Mm-hmm. I would like to see some team shows come up, maybe do some team action this year. There's a few smaller ones coming around. Right. That I'm going to look at. I've got Dave and the boys. That was the other fun of last year, is I got my buddy Dave's sons are getting old enough, and we got them into derby cars for their first time last year.
Nice.
Cool. And then I got Mickey. He's an old cousin of my brother-in-law Mav that we derbied with years ago, and it was always family. And then Dewey came over from the neighbor and put everything together, and we'd roll into our home show with like 10 or 12 cars and have a good time with it. But we've had a lot of people come and go over the years throughout the team. Just working back towards some fun stuff this year.
We did that once. We had, I don't know, I think there was 10 of us, all from out where I live, and we all were running Waterloo, and we got a picture taken in my parents' backyard of all of us sitting in the cars across the backyard. That was pretty cool. I don't know where that picture is anymore, but I remembered it. It's cool when you get that many of your buddies and family together and run. That's kind of what it's about.
Oh yeah,
that is cool. The Chevette, if it does get wrecked this summer, right now the prevailing opinion is that it should get wrecked this year. 30 votes so far, 18 saying wreck it this summer, 12 saying save it for next year. Where would you be running it this summer?
Well, I've got lots of different options. pretty sure to fall into the NLR limited weld compact rules. I'll have to take a closer look and make sure. But now John's adding a few more shows on this year. And, he's got my home show at Polk County Fair. It's always been my favorite He's taking on a few extra shows around, and maybe even a point series that he's been talking. But
cool.
I'm hoping I can take it around a few different places and just torment the locals with it.
Right.
It'll be fun. Rear-wheel drives and compacts have pretty much disappeared over the last 5 years. You know, there was a long time where the Pintos and Mustang 2s became very dominant in the area, and it's so much to the point where I won't mention the team, but we had a lot of hard feelings over builds and over cars, and it pretty much killed out what we had going for compacts for a while. And then they started making Pintos and Mustang 2s illegal, and it survived. And now with the W body surgeons, it's been coming back. So
nice.
Fun to see these big shows that we're getting now. We're running 30, 40 cars of chain compacts, you know.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Is that heats and feature then?
Some places it is.
Yeah.
Last year we were surprised. We had heats and features it was 2 years ago at Clayton. A lot of places they're still down to just a feature, but I'd like to build up some more in the area and help some guys out and see if we can't get some bigger shows. I remember the times when we'd have, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 heats of compacts. You know, we went into those Grandeur years. We went into Polk County or to Balsam Lake, and we had 5 heats of compacts just to get to the feature. So,
wow,
that's a lot of compacts.
That is a long day.
Yeah,
very cool. Looking for some more of the content here, but the stuff's not there. Oh well, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. So again, the debate raging. We'll leave that poll up for a little while so folks can chime in on it. Again, we've got about 30 votes thus far. Bruce Johnson looking for some advice if he should wreck the car, his Chevette from Capital City Carnage this summer, or save it and bring it back to Capital City Carnage next year. Is there anything, I mean, you sort of hinted around at some of the cars that you'd like to do, and we threw some ideas out there. Is there anything that you still have on the list that you'd like to smash at least one of before you hang up your helmet?
Oh, yeah, there's always that list. The bucket list, you got to call it.
Sure.
I would say, everybody's got to do an Imperial at some point, just because. I'm a compact guy, but you know, got to do the Imperial. You got to do the 76 Chevy wagon, just because it's an iconic car. I've got some on my bucket list in the stash already, and some of it's that full size stuff, some of it's the more compact stuff. But we'll see what happens.
Cool. Ah, a Volare. That'd be kind of cool, right?
Yeah.
I saw one of those in Massachusetts. 80s Volare.
I know where one sits.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
You going to get it?
Probably not.
No, I got to pass.
Probably not. I have a bad habit of turning Mopars inside out whenever. Love them, but I turn them inside out.
Well, the votes continue to pile in. We'll keep you posted as it goes. We'll leave that poll open for a little while and see what the general consensus is, and we'll get back to you and let you know what you're going to be doing ultimately with your Chevette. If it's going to be sitting around your shop for another year waiting for Capital City Carnage to come around in 2020, or if you're going to be wrecking it this summer someplace at home in Wisconsin. Like we said, right now over 30 votes on deck. And most of them right now saying that you should wreck it this summer.
Sounds good.
Is there anybody that you wanted to make mention of here before we let you go?
Well, you know, I got to put a thank out to Dave and the boys for helping me and Mickey. You know, if it hadn't been for them two guys and the boys coming out, there's no way I'd ever have gotten this car done. You know, there was some hard nights and some big challenges that we overcame just to get things going. And sometimes it's just the motivation that you get with, you know, a couple guys in the shop with you makes things work. I got to thank Brandon for the good luck stickers. You know, he gave me a couple stickers on the back that he always loves to put stickers on my car for.
Right.
And then Maverick, my brother-in-law, who got me started in this 20 years ago, I got to thank him for that. Trying to get him off the bench and back out into it, but we'll see what I can do with him.
Then you're halfway to your team for Blizzard Bash now. Get him to come out.
There we go.
Yeah, only need two more bodies.
There you go.
Well, be sure to stay in touch. Let us know where you do end up running it, if you're going to end up saving it, if you're going to end up wrecking it this summer. I'd love to see some after pictures once the thing is finally ready to be scrapped out. If it's like anything else that I've seen you run, it'll be just about unrecognizable. Absolutely. By the time you're done, but we expect nothing less.
That's the goal.
Awesome, man. Well, I do appreciate you coming on, and I love the idea of having the fans get involved. I think it's cool, and like we said, we'll be in touch.
Thank you.
Bruce, man, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
See ya. Bye. Bruce runs crash test dummies on his car. I was like that. He had his bell rung at Winter Slam. He got rocked hard.
Real quick, last week we got busy. We were talking with drivers from Capital City Carnage. But I wanted to send a nice shout out to Tony Penwell. I believe it was his first Blizzard Bash.
First Capital City Carnage.
And came out there by himself, ran through his heat by himself, was running the feature pretty much by himself. I think he ended up top five.
He was in there, yeah.
Top five.
This is Chris. This is Brian.
Ended up losing a right front tire, and it kind of ended his night, but did a nice job. I mean, that was a Ohio-built wagon. Ohio style, and I actually sent him a message the other night, and I'd been meaning to, but life has just been crazy since we got back from Topeka. So it's cool to see him go out there, and we've been saying right along we'd like to see some guys from Ohio come out to Topeka and tango with the boys, and hopefully we'll start seeing some more of them come out there.
Right on. The Fastbenders did well. Mm-hmm. Young Dakota Fastbender, and then Landon Pryor did a nice job too. A couple young kids,
young man,
and then. Man, I forgot their names now. But that couple of 16-year-old kids that took second in the two-man class.
Yeah, that was very impressive.
There's some good youth out there, that's for sure.
That's what we said. I think the future of Demolition Derby is pretty bright. There's some good drivers coming through.
Trying to find some more of the final results from this weekend, but I can't put my fingers on it quite as fast as I wanted to, but we're bringing Brian Horton onto the show from out in California. Brian joining us after really lighting the world on fire out there in Vegas. When I talked to Josh earlier today, he said if there's anybody you can get on, get a hold of Brian. He did a real nice job. So congratulations on your efforts out there, getting noticed and doing what we want out of a demolition derby, entertaining the fans, man. How was Vegas?
It was awesome. I mean, my goal there was to trying to get the Mad Dog, so I succeeded in one goal. The other goal was to win some money in the slots, and I lost it there.
Well, people do that in Vegas.
It's funny how that happens, right?
Absolutely.
It does.
I'm trying to remember, did you have a green Town & Country wagon at one point? At the Wasatch Wipeout?
No, that was my buddy that I live with next to down here. He drove that up at Wasatch Wipeout.
Okay. All right. I couldn't remember.
I've basically been retired for about the past 4 years, and since Jared Lasby had that first KOD Derby,
right?
I ran. That was my last show. I actually built the car and ran in, and then I had O3 Vic there, and then I basically haven't built anything in the past 4 years. And when the Vegas thing came up, I was like, you know what? I can't sit idle no more.
Right. Why'd you get out of it?
You know, I was down here in Cali. I was building 8-9 cars a year, derbying from February to November. They just kind of got wore out.
Sure.
You know, I just built in too many cars. I did like 70 derbies in like 5 years, which was just too much for me.
Wow.
And so I just, like, you know, my back was killing me and everything was kind of hurting. So I was like, no, I'm gonna take a little break. And I really didn't get out of it very much. I mean, I stopped building cars, but, you know, a couple of buddies of mine were like, hey, come drive this car. And last year, John Cash built me a car to come out to Florida. So I went out to Florida and ran that derby, you know, and so the itch has always been there.
Sure. Well, I mean, you had the chance at breaking ground. I believe this is the first demolition derby to be held at a casino that I'm aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got the honors now as being recognized as one of the most aggressive drivers. What was that experience like, being there, part of Stern Dirt's casino battle royale, and just the whole event as it were, not just simply the Demolition Derby, but the experience front to back of being in Las Vegas for a Demolition Derby?
You know, from start to finish, it was great. You know, when we got there, Stern Dirt had these awesome jackets for us made. Every driver had their own personalized jacket, which was awesome. They gave us $200 in gambling chips and just said, hey, here, go cool. have fun. So starting from there was great. The pits were great. Every driver, I mean, it wasn't even just the drivers that were driving. There were drivers from all over the country that just come to watch. And you just, every driver was awesome to talk to. I met a lot of people I've always wanted to meet, like the Steinbecks and now I'm brain cramping on names, just meeting all them, and everybody was very helpful. Everybody's very nice, great. And the show was, I thought the show was awesome, very fast-paced, hard-hitting. And the biggest thing for me is we were all surprised at the quality of cars that came, you know, because when everybody said, oh, it's 3,000 to win, just bring a junker and have some fun. I mean, there was some top-notch builds there. There were some wild cars.
What was the surface like? We've seen the ups and downs of some of these indoor derbies and the struggle with having a decent surface. What was the surface like from a driver's perspective?
You know, I got to say, that first heat was awesome. You know, I mean, I was catching and moving. That's probably why, you know, my car was flying in the heat. And right. I thought the track was really good there. The main event, I thought I got a little too soft. You know, a lot of guys were getting stuck in the main, which is unfortunate because that's the one way you don't want to go out is just getting stuck. But for what it was, the fact that it was only 6 inches of dirt sitting on top of asphalt, I don't think you could ask for anything better at that point.
Sure. In terms of your build and what you're seeing in California, what are the build parameters like out there in California? I mean, you've got some stud builders that we've come to know out there in the Tag family, Eric Boulay,
Chivers.
Yep, Ryan Chivers. Ryan. You know those guys.
Yeah, there's a lot of different builders down here. I mean, I'm clear down in SoCal. I'm a long ways away from Troy Tag and all that. They're all up in NorCal, and I've known all of them for a lot of years. Down here, the rules for most of the derbies down here are pretty laid back. Is like if you had a pulse, it was good enough to run. So we built a lot of hammers back in the day that were fully plated front to back and never bent. But the downside is nobody would come to the shows anymore, and we've lost maybe 10 of those shows. So now the only shows left are basically stock builds, which almost the same identical rules as what we just did in Vegas. So I've seen Blizzard Bash builds and Capital City Carnage. Man, those things blow anything out down here away, because we don't build like that down here anymore.
I don't think anybody builds like that besides the folks that are coming to Topeka.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, it's a unique build, and then they run those as mod cars all over their county fair season at home. That strip from Iowa down across Nebraska and into Missouri, Indiana, Illinois.
Hard.
There's just some insane stuff that gets constructed out there, and they don't even fit definitions of cars by the time they're done. They're monsters, that's for sure. I think the further you get from the central portion of America, the more stock things are.
Oh yeah,
you know, the closer you get to the coast. Ben Lavangi from Woodbugger Demolition Derby fame. He's run in the Northeast Championships a bunch of times. He made the trip out from Mass to go to Vegas. Ron McClung from up in Canada, he made the trip out.
I was just looking. I was going to say the gentleman's name. Ronnie had transmission trouble.
Right.
He was a ways still. He was still a ways out of Las Vegas, and had tranny trouble. And a guy who had used to derby heard, or you know, Ronnie put it on his Facebook. And then the Derby family continued saving it, or spreading it around. And this guy said, "Hey, I'm an old Derby guy. Take my Dodge 1-ton dually, haul it, haul the Vegas." And this guy owned his own shop, haul the Vegas, and I'll fix your truck while you're gone. And so that's what Ronnie did. He borrowed a truck, and he was on his way to Vegas. So James Miner and Charles Keller, I think it was James Miner's one-ton Dodge. Said, here, haul your car to Vegas, and when you come back through, I'll have your truck fixed. So, I mean, that's pretty damn cool. I mean, that's, you know, we've talked about the Derby family, how they all help each other. And
Ronnie's car is just as heavy as when he left Canada. It's just got a much different center of gravity. It's all...
Yeah.
Fits on the trailer a lot better.
He left it there. He was leaving it in Vegas. I don't know if... I think he was hoping to haul some old iron home with him. I don't know if he did or not.
What makes you think that?
Mike DeFrisia did that. Mike DeFrisia, I can't remember if it was his car or his... I think they took two cars out there, and they left one of their cars there and were hauling back an old Chevy. Mike, I think Mike got Mad Dog in the heat, but he wasn't able to get it fixed to get it back on the track.
Yeah, he got Mad Dog in the heat, and it was awesome to meet him. I mean, that post he did was shared, I think, like 400 times in like 4 hours. So that just shows you how big the demo community is, and getting him out there was awesome.
Yep.
People come from all over. You know, Will Steinbeck, as Brian just mentioned a minute ago, made the trip out, and we've had Will on the show before, and he's a cool dude. Mm-hmm. People that... I know we've said this before, but it's people that you never expected to be on the track at the same time together.
Oh, yeah.
And we've had the chance to see some cool combinations of names and main events, but everybody was there. You know what I mean? It was really cool.
I think the guys from Massachusetts said it was a 52-hour tow.
That's all.
Yeah, just 52 hours.
That's all.
Ronnie's was
good. And that guy was insane. He took his mini car out there with the full size in the wipeout heat Friday night and got Mad Dog in his mini car against full size cars.
I'm pretty sure that was Ben.
Yeah, the number 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did see part of that, I remember. But yeah, it was neat. It definitely looked like it was an experience. The track kind of looked like what you'd see in Utah. It was a rodeo ring, and they were throwing dust and dirt and sand, and it was neat. It was fun to watch.
Riding on three, carrying one.
They were definitely doing that. They were doing some high speed turns.
What's next for you, Brian?
Actually, I closed escrow on a house. Ironically, on Friday while I was in Vegas. The next month for me is going to be just moving and getting organized, and I'm probably just going to take a little break until July. And there's a local show down in Chino, California. I'm probably going to restub that wagon and take it there.
Nice,
cool.
See if I can piss them off.
Sure won't be hard.
Probably not.
Once you get settled in the new house and all that kind of stuff, are you going to be traveling a little bit more? Is there any likelihood that we could see you turn up in the Midwest, make the trip out to Topeka, make some more starts in Ogden, Salt Lake City area, stuff like that?
You know, I grew up in Wyoming, and I did a lot of derbies in Utah and stuff, but not this year. You know, I'm getting married in September also, so it's kind of a busy year for me.
You don't say.
Next year... I hope to probably catch one or two Utah shows. UTC was one of my favorite shows.
Yep.
Wasatch Wipeout looked, you know, I went there twice and helped out. Looks like an awesome show. I still like to go back home and run Evanston, Wyoming again, where I'm from. It's been 6 or 7 years since I ran that show. So I'd like to get back up there and start getting back at it.
Nice.
What kind of a derby do you have? Some cars now that are waiting to be wrecked, or you have some that are, you know.
I had one shocker sitting here, and it was kind of a pre-ram, and I was going to take that to Vegas until they said fresh cars only. And now this is the part that's going to upset you guys, is I went and tried to find a car, found that 65 Town & Country wagon in South Central L.A. for $400.
Wow.
So I went up and got it. Well, I had my buddy go get it for me, and then I brought it home, sold the motor and tranny out of it for $400, so... It's basically a free car for me, and that's why I wasn't too concerned about just junking it at Vegas.
That's awesome.
How scary is it to pick up a car in South Central L.A.?
it's interesting, to say the least. I've picked up quite a few cars down there, and they've all been great experiences. But, man, there's times where you're driving I drive a mega cab that's been stretched to a long bed, and it's big and lifted, and it just, you get a lot of looks when you're driving through South Central in it.
never thought they'd be picking up derby cars in Compton or South Central LA, but hey, who am I to judge? That's cool, man.
All those mid-70s Chevys, why not?
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah, we've heard stories about how easy it is to find cars out there, and you haven't done anything to hurt those stories. It's, you know, Nice you can find old iron like that. Wagon.
That's nuts.
That's crazy.
Well, that Brian, you said your neighbor was, and I'm blanking on the guy's name. He had that neon green wagon that ended up getting pushed.
Yeah, he was driving. He drove Saturday night. He had that bright green Shocker, and yep. I think he too Saturday night. He got Mad Dog in the heat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he made it to the feature. He ran in the feature, right?
No, I mean he got Mad Dog and he made it to the feature, but that last hit that he took put the frame rail up into the side of the block, kind of ripped a hole in the oil pan, and we think it cracked the block. Couldn't quite tell. It's all kind of mangled in there. There's oil everywhere. So
I was impressed. He was running that Town and Country wagon, and he was fast enough to where guys weren't getting a hold of the back end of it. Because usually you see somebody gets a hold of the back end of a Shocker wagon and it just blows apart. And he was good enough and fast enough to where it got pushed in some, but they weren't able to blow it apart like they normally do on Chrysler wagons. He did a real nice job with that wagon too. Both you guys did well with the wagons.
That was that one that got pushed over the blocks when we were at Wasatch and drove into the stage.
Remember that, Chris?
I do that. I do remember that. I remember the decal in the hood said Bipolar Express.
Nice.
Yeah.
And those letters looked exceptionally large as it was coming over. I thought for sure I was landing inside that engine bay. I thought for sure. Like, I'm going to land right on top of this fan. And you can't stop a fan with your hands. It's like a machine. It was not looking good. It was scary.
All turned out good.
Made for some great pictures, though.
Absolutely. Ratings, baby. It's all about the ratings.
Yep. That's right. That's exactly what it was.
You know what? And you guys made the famous cut of it too, because every time we were walking around Vegas, every time we talked to one of the drivers, like, yeah, I'm the one that was on the wall, and everybody knew exactly who he was.
That's awesome.
He had a rough night that night, but I'm glad things went better for him at Vegas at the Casino Battle Royale. And it sounds like maybe you're going to get a chance to get out a little bit this year, and then hopefully everything goes smooth with the wedding and the house, so that in 2020 you can make some ventures further east.
That's the goal.
Now listen, if the wife is listening, then you know, just play this off as bad advice. But if she's not listening, the first thing you want to do is fill your garage up with derby cars, because you know it's better to ask for forgiveness than it is permission. So you get 6-8 cars stuffed in there, and then say, "Honey, I just such good deals. I couldn't turn them down." So that's my wedding advice to you, is get the garage stuffed full of cars first, and then everything else will take care of itself.
Yeah, she knows my ways. When I bring it home, I'm like, I couldn't pass it up. It was too good of a deal. She already knows my lines.
Perfect. You got to get 6 or 8 in there, you'll be good to go.
Yes.
Well, man, is there anybody else? You mentioned your wife there. She's sort of on board with the game plan. Is there anybody that you want to make mention of?
Is anybody what?
Anybody you want to make mention of that you know, motor builder, transmission builder, somebody who's willing to drive to South Central for you?
BMS built my trans out of Northern Cal. Guy does all the like toy tags and their trans. Mm-hmm. Big thanks, of course, to my dad. You know, because he's a derby when I was younger, so that's how I got hooked. Of course, all my family and friends that came out, and you know, I had a group of like 25 people that came out, because all my family still lives in Utah and Wyoming, so. They all drove down, so that was awesome for everybody to be there and see. My motor, David, you know, everybody made comments about my motor. That was a David Smith special out of L.A. That motor has 27 runs on it. We still haven't rebuilt it yet. It's just, it's been going for 8 years, and until it hiccups, we're not going to touch it.
Nope. Wow. Nope, as long as there ain't no issues, let her run.
Yes.
We're approaching 40 votes now for Bruce, and Save It for Capital City Carnage is gaining momentum. So it's 21 for Wreck-It this summer and 18 for Save It for Carnage. Nice. And we're going to leave that open this week so that we can get some more votes on it and give him as best advice as possible. What would you do if you had a Chevette laying around that only had a handful of hits on it? Would you save it for the following year, or would you get rid of it in the summer?
You'd scrap it and go buy Mopar.
Yeah, right.
The car still has life if you drive it. That's the rules, right?
That's a
good call. It's hard to... Do you get a lot of Mopars out there? I just sort of automatically assumed that, being in California, that you were only allowed to run Cadillacs and Rivieras.
No, I mean, I mainly drive Mopars. I mean, at one point I had at one point, like 8 years ago, I had like 7 nose machines, 5 boxcars in my backyard. I've sent so many Chryslers to Utah, it's insane. I probably delivered 30, 40 Shockers, Y-Framers, Cadillacs to Wyoming. Anytime I make a trip up there, I go find a car to help pay for my trip, load it up, take it up there, sell it to somebody.
Interesting.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I'm that, like, you know, I just got home today and I found a 65 New Yorker sitting there about an hour from my house. I'm debating on going and buying it, so I have a fresh clip and sub to the front of this wagon. Usually you can find stuff quite a bit. I sent a lot of wagons back east, you know, me right. and Zizelman, I've been friends with him for a lot of years. I sent a lot of GM wagons back to him. Cadillacs, things like that. So you can always find them out here. That's the advantage of being, you know, so many people down here. Everyone wants to get rid of them now.
So going around social media, there's that picture where they're selling Imperials for $200 a piece, and there's this Imperial yard that there was going to be crushing out. Is any of that true?
It was, yes, but that was out of Northern California.
Yeah.
At one point, though, they were just getting rid of stuff left and right for, you know, dirt cheap prices.
Mm-hmm.
There was a yard down here in Southern California a year ago. The guy had like 30 suicides, and he's like, they all need to go. And I went up there and I started talking to him, and he wanted like $1,500 a piece for all of them. I was like, man, that's crazy. And then like 6 months later, I hit him up. I'm like, hey, you know, do you still have any of those suicides? What do you want to do with them? He's like, oh, I sold all of them to this guy for $300 a piece. And I was like, you gotta be shitting me, right?
Wow. Oh, that would ruin your day.
Holy cow.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm...
You do hear about it. There was, you know, the downside here is when the scrap prices got high a couple years ago, you know, junkyards where we couldn't get cars out of, or we were trying to, they wouldn't sell you a car for $800 or $900, even $1,000 if you had a really good car. I've seen GM wagons and stuff in the yards, and they won't sell them, and then next thing you know, steel prices or scrap prices went up, and you went by and all the old iron was gone. You're like, what happened? He's like, oh, I just scrapped them all. I said, like, man, you got what, $200, maybe $300 a car? I mean, I was offering you like $6,000, $8,000. Did you not, you know, and they just don't get it.
That's crazy.
That's the thing, is you buy it for $600-$800 and you're still going to scrap it, so they're going to get the car back.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to get it back. If they're really in love with it, it's just not going to look as good.
Yeah, it's going to look just the same when the crusher gets done with it.
I mean, that's like one of those deals, one of the yards around here, is everything in there was worth $1,000,000. It's going to be rare, and they don't make them anymore, et cetera, et cetera. Well, now you're either going to crush it or it's going to rot into the ground and you can't do anything with it. I mean,
that
certainly.
I know the exact junkyard you're talking about.
You know, there's a lot of sea bodies in there, like a lot of them. A lot of them. There was a 67 or 60, black 67, 68 Imperial, and the subframe rotted right out.
Yeah,
it
rotted in half.
It rotted right in two.
I asked about that car for years and he wouldn't sell it.
Yeah, but there wasn't a lot of Imperials in there, though.
No, that was only Imperial.
Yeah, that was the only one. There was 65s that had the glass lenses in mm-hmm. the grill, the New Yorkers, but that was the only Imperial that was in there.
Mm-hmm. There he had some Shockers, but he wouldn't sell those either. I'm sure they're all junk now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would believe how many times I got in a junkyard and walked out with subframe stuff that they won't play the car, and we just go out there, unbolt an imp sub or a Shocker Y-frame sub, and drag it out and load it on the trailer.
How much does that go for, dare I ask?
You used to be able to get the last M sub I got, we got 68, and we got the sub, the front fenders, core support, hood, and I think we spent like $450.
Not a bad day at the office.
Nope. It's impressive.
Crazy.
Well, if you come across anything else,
they wanted to charge us more because they had tires on it, so we ripped the tires off and drove it across the parking lot just on the rotors.
That's great.
Jeez. Well, if you come across any more stuff like that, send us some pictures, man. It'd be yeah. neat to learn about that and make us feel a little bit jealous about it.
I send stuff to Decker all the time.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm sure he appreciates it. Yeah, that was cool. I can't believe that. $400 Town and Country wagon, and then it ends up free.
What'd they have for a motor? 440?
I had a 383 in it.
Okay.
No, sorry. No, I'm sorry. This one, the other one, the other car, we had a 383. It had a 413 in it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. 65. Yeah,
those are good motor.
Yep.
Harold Benjamin won a lot of money with 413s.
Sure did. Sure did.
A lot of money.
If I would have spent maybe like 2 or 3 hours working on it and making it, because the guy said it ran like 5 years ago, if I probably spent some time and made it start, turn over, I could have got more out of it. But, you know, I posted it just to see, and some guy, you know, I think I had like 10 people wanting it in the first 5 days, and so I just sold it, get it out here, see you later.
Nice.
Right.
Makes Can't that beat easy. That.
For sure. Well, man, I appreciate you coming on the show and hanging out with us for a little while. I'm glad Vegas went so well in your return to Derby for 2019. Hopefully the rest of the summer goes well. Good luck on the house and on the wedding. And be sure to keep in touch, man. Let us know how things are going.
All right, I appreciate it.
Appreciate you coming on and hanging out with us for a while.
All right, thank you.
We'll see you later. There goes Brian Horton. I lost track of time a little bit. We got that late start.
About an hour.
Now. I just clicked off 101. But, yeah, fun show tonight. Bruce is such a good dude, and getting to hear from a new voice in Brian Horton, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's always good to talk to somebody different and get some new blood on the show.
Picking up cars out of Compton.
Yeah, it's crazy. That's crazy.
Braver than I, Brian. You're braver than I.
No.
That is going to do it for us here. 268 in the books. We appreciate all the folks tuning in. Be sure to jump online, visit the Crash Course Facebook page, throw us a like, and also vote. Let Bruce Johnson know what he should do with his Chevette from Capital City Carnage. Should he save it for next year and run it again, or should he waste it this summer and terrorize the locals, as he kept saying. That is going to do it for us here at the North Park Building at Academy Square. We're going to be back again next Monday with more Crash Course Demolition Derby podcast. We'll see you then.
Crash Course Live is presented by
Smash It Demolition Derby, who hosts Bash for Cash, Blizzard Bash, and Capital City Carnage. Online at smashitderby.com. And Stirring Dirt Racing, host of May Mania's team show at the Golden Spike Arena in Ogden, Utah. Online at stirringdirtracing.com. Reckless Abandon Derby Apparel and Derby Inc. Magazine.
This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby podcast, recorded live at the FigureLinks1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York.